Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today, the hens are back.
Hens are back, guys. Yay. Callie Linville, Sandy Zwingle. We are here for a four-peat of the hens. And you might ask, what are the hens if you've never listened before? Well, it's just four girlfriends getting together and chit-chatting about life and the things that are important and the things that happen to us.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. So. And it's hard to believe we were talking before we got on air here. It's been a year since you guys have been here.
It has been an entire year. Goes fast, doesn't it?
It does.
And a lot changes. Sandy has a new grand boy.
Of course, yes. Wonderful, amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best thing that's happened to you.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Can't even describe.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has no pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
Lies detected. Lies detected.
Yeah.
Fun.
Harvey, yeah.
I love that name.
Family name. He's carrying on the family name, so it's a great. Something great-great-great-great-grandfather. So.
Yeah.
So
he's mom and dad are good?
Of course, yes. Adorable.
Settled in, and he's how old now?
He is approaching 4 months.
Okay.
So he's right at the 4 month mark.
Yeah. Starting to kind of wake up and get a personality.
Yeah, he's found his voice. He's squealing.
Okay. So, love it.
Rolling over and just doing all kinds of fun things.
So. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, and you're babysitting quite a bit.
I am. Yeah. And that was a great opportunity. I was happy to be able to just do that for the kids. And
yes.
Not for financial reasons for them. They just wanted to know who was influencing their.
Of course.
Yeah. For sure.
Fun. Are you sure about that?
Take a minute. Think it over.
It's been really good.
Yeah.
And you have a new
That's
baby.
That's great. Tanya, I do. Number bag. Three. She is fresh out of the womb, a week old, and a few days. Yeah, she's sweet. Carson Grace. Carson with a K is her name.
Yes.
And three girls, and Lakin and Caleb are doing wonderfully. They're figuring it out. And so there's been a lot of me and the other Nini helping with the two olders and, you know, trying to entertain them a little more since the focus is on baby. So it's a balance.
I'm sure.
And they're still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Sleep-deprived. My kids are sleep-deprived.
Very much so.
Yeah,
and yes. Yesterday I picked up Rai because Blake's back in school. And so Lakin's at home with the baby, and she admittedly hadn't showered in a week. Washed her hair. She showered.
She's like, Mom,
I call this the big shower. The everything shower.
The big shower. Yeah. And she has great hair that she can go a week and it doesn't look like.
Yeah,
I mean, I have to wash my hair every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? You haven't washed your hair in a week? She was like, no, can you believe that? I'm like, gross, but
but also, that's just great. Good for you.
Yeah.
And so I said, why don't you use this time to get in the shower? And she goes, Mom, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, bye. Yeah.
Sleeping. My priorities.
I went over and said, go take a nap. And she...
Yes. Sleep is way more important than washing that hair.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Okay, girls. Well, our first topic this morning, I'm going to let Callie Linville say it because she says it best
kind of
gave us the idea to have this as one of our topics.
One of our topics, yes.
So say it.
She's really put me on the spot here. I say a lot of things, Tanya.
You know what I'm talking about.
Permission to say no.
Yes.
Yeah. So when they approached me about topics, we were in an email group, and I was at, and this has been 2 or 3 months ago when we were planning this.
Yeah.
I was reflecting on my year, and I said, I have said no to a lot of things, and I have taken a lot of things off of my plate this year. I just didn't have the bandwidth,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. I would rather do 2 or 3 things well instead of 10 things poorly.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. just me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I want to say none of this is prescriptive. I mean, I am not here to say this is how to live your life by any means. I'm just in a phase where I was like, I'm going to step back from some things and say no to some things. And there's nothing wrong. I'm quick to say there's nothing wrong with those organizations mm-hmm. or with the leadership mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. actually they're in a great place. So this is a good
great
time for
timing.
Me. Yeah, for
yes.
me to go on the bubble.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to go when things are bad. I feel like I have contributed.
True. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So unapologetically saying no and letting go of the guilt, I think,
yeah.
of going,
yeah.
oh. Like,
yeah.
So it's just, and not that I can't scale that back up in my life.
Well, sure.
It was just, I kind of have this rule that I call, like, think about your plate. I call it the 1-for-1 rule. If I add something to my plate, mm-hmm. I remove something mm-hmm. from my plate. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to do.
I do that in my closet.
Well, see, it all works
yeah,
out.
It does. You're
yeah.
exactly right.
Yeah.
And so is there anything that happened?
Oh,
within.
Yeah, I didn't just wake up and go, had this epiphany in my life. Yeah, I've jokingly, and I have a text thread with some girlfriends called this hashtag 2025 dumpster fire. It just felt like starting in January, the hits just kept coming. Mm. And I don't want to disclose a ton of things, but at work, I had a coworker that was facing some major medical issues mm-hmm. and we're a small department. And so mm-hmm. I was picking up his work. And I was happy to do so because he is one of the kindest people. And the work that we do, it's economic development. We have relationships with a lot of our customers and our clients. And so I needed to fill that. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a pause to look at my inventory and go, okay, where am I spending my time? Mm-hmm. And where is it best applied? So between that and then just personally, I was like still sorting through some personal health issues that nothing was like wrong. Like it was just like, why am I burnt out? Why am I
yeah.
not sleeping?
Yeah.
So working
yeah.
through
right.
some of that, I was like, I thought a lot about what are the free or low cost things with low barrier to entry that you can do every day that increase your health. Mm-hmm. So those are things like drinking water. I would almost put that in the free category unless you're buying your water.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Taking a morning walk. That is free. Looking at morning sunlight, low angle mm-hmm. light helps set your circadian rhythm. That mm-hmm. is free. Mm-hmm. Putting your phone down. That is free. Mm-hmm. Your attention. Like what are the things that you can do that are very back to basic? So I really leaned into the simplicity mm-hmm. of things. And that out of that kind of came, I think I'm going to get off some of these boards. Mm-hmm. They're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to back off these.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think we all can probably name a time that life has probably hit at the same time that you've overcommitted and you've said yes too many times. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize it until you're in the thick of it sometimes
yeah.
because it is a good cause. It is a good board. I've always been interested in this. Or it aligns with how you think, mm-hmm. how you mm-hmm. feel, who you want to be, mm-hmm. your legacy you want to leave. And then something's the trigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes you rethink, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. And the reset of, you know, I'm really stressed and mm-hmm. why is that? And I think it's important that you pointing out all the free things mm-hmm. that can be done. And not only the free things, but the mindset reset things.
Yes.
So obviously we all know how important water is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know how important exercise is.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how important just getting outside
yes.
and getting sunlight and having the environment kind of reset your mood sometimes, how important that is. Mm-hmm. So I think that all those things you just said, Callie, don't necessarily have to go along with some big event happening.
No.
And a big trigger.
No.
But just realizing that, hold on a second. Yeah. I find myself with no time for myself, for those walks or for the just sitting and being.
I kept thinking a lot about I wanted the inside to match the outside. So what I mean by that is being in alignment. And so the things that are going on in your interior life, which are, you know, your thoughts and your chatter and your conversations with your trusted people, not necessarily the things that you're leading with on your social media or at work or whatever. So there's more like internal life conversations and thoughts. I wanted the inside to match the outside, which means that's your actions. Mm-hmm. So I wanted the inside of my life to match the outside of my life. So if this is what's going on inside of me, what are the actions and choices I make then to serve well and do well? Because I think the other thing that I kept thinking about was, I don't know if it's just culture right now, we say, let go of the things that are no longer serving me. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about that, I was like, man, that feels really selfish. Mm-hmm. Like, that feels very like, I'm like, it's all about me. It feels very selfish. And I was like, I don't think that. I just think I want to let go of the things that aren't really serving others, mm-hmm. not necessarily just self-serving. So it was, what are the things that I can let go of that actually that organization's in a great place or club or hobby or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, they're in a great place. Let someone else step mm-hmm. up and, mm-hmm. and do. If I don't step out of the way, it doesn't allow the opportunity for someone else to step in. Right. That's why we have term limits.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
The reason we have
change
term
is good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody, yeah. I hope that someone comes behind me and does far better.
Right.
For sure.
Than me.
Yes.
Like, I am not the expert on this.
Yeah.
Do better. Go mm-hmm. farther. Do mm-hmm. more. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, those were things that, and I also decided, I was going to take a long, hard look at how much I'm like doing, quote, good things to a fault. Like, am I exercising too much? Am I, you know, over committing to hot yoga or whatever it is? I was mm-hmm. like, hey, how about a moderate view on these things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you mm-hmm. can take anything.
That's true.
And too overwork far. It.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
There you go.
I think, you know, I agree with a lot of things you said. Bandwidth was a word that came to mm-hmm. my mind when I was thinking through this. And, you know, 11 or 12 years ago, changed a job, I changed a career. And so my initial reaction was, I need to get involved. I need to get plugged in. And I did that mm-hmm. almost to a fault. I mean, I was involved, and you guys know, mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't.
Sandy's everywhere.
I was just like, I was doing this.
And you kind of feel like you have to be in our industry, mm-hmm. right?
Right. If you work in a service industry, you want to be available. You want to put yourself out there. And then it does become, though, a thing that you're just like, I'm doing all of these things at the expense of everything that's really important to me. So, mm-hmm. you know, you were saying take time to do this, take mm-hmm. time to do that. And if you're so involved, mm-hmm. And I don't regret a lot of that. Sure. I mean, I don't. And the organizations I committed to, but back to, it's time for a change. I, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, okay, I've done this for however many years, X years. And it's like, somebody else needs to step up and mm-hmm. breathe new life into mm-hmm. that. But for me, it really was, I'm not able to take care of myself or mm-hmm. do this or spend time with my family or just my husband or, you know, the kids at the time. And when you are so committed like that, when it's detrimental to everything that is truly mm-hmm. important to you, that's when you have to go, okay. And it is okay to say no. And mm-hmm. I think if you're on the receiving end of being told no, because I've led committees and asked mm-hmm. people and had mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. and I've wanted people to serve. Mm-hmm. And at first you're like a little bit offended, but you can't mm-hmm. be offended because it's, you know, in their world right now, it's just not, it's not right for them to jump in and, and give you their full.
And it's not always a no endlessly. There's times that
you're right.
It's a no for not for right now.
Right.
And exactly. I mean, even think about some of the friendships you've had in your life and relationships. You pick back up with those people later on mm-hmm. and no harm, no foul. They were mm-hmm. just in a phase where they were parenting heavier.
Exactly.
Or, you know, or parents they're taking care of or whatever they have going on in their life. And so I think giving that grace to people to know it's that back to it's not about me, you know, it's not this is no longer serving me. It's that path has kind of meandered a little bit and mm-hmm. and when life changes, you know, maybe our paths join back up again.
And I think you have to look at who's asked you. Like who mm-hmm. asked, you know, who is putting the ask? You know, is this a person that asks everybody for everything all the time. Right. Right. Or is it a person that, you know, is a trusted friend and you're like, they don't ask unless, you know, and then you evaluate a little bit differently and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take a minute to think about this before I truly, and see if I can carve out, do I have the bandwidth? Can I still make my life work and do what I need to do for
Well, I've joked that I look in the mirror and the problem is me. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. You know, I'm the one that has said yes to these things, or I have volunteered and I'm like, ugh.
You're right.
You know, does past me hate future me? Like that. Like, why did I say yes to that?
And
I also am quick to say, I want to do hard things to grow. We don't grow in complacency.
Yeah.
So I have said yes this year to something that is hard and it challenges me and I'm doing it. But when I leave, I'm like, okay, this is to grow. And I put a time limit on it too. So I'm going to do that for 12 months. I'm going to do that for 1 year. I'm going to serve in that capacity. And I was like, and then I'm leaving because it takes a lot emotionally out of me. So, but I'm doing hard things. I'm learning a lot through it. So
it's
future.
It's not just a sheer time suck.
You're
like, oh, this is not, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you really have to, there's some homework in it and you have to read and you have to think. And so it's, it is, well, I mean, I'll just say what it is. I was appointed to the Christian County Planning and Zoning Board. So these decisions affect a lot of people. So you have to be very mindful of that. It then goes to the commissioners to actually have the final vote. So we are just making a recommendation, but I still take it very seriously. I really want to hear what the neighbors are thinking, saying, impacts, those types of things.
So. Sounds like another podcast to me. Pick like the mind of someone on planning and zoning.
I would refer you to the county commissioners probably. Oh my gosh. So I said no to some things to say yes to that.
That's amazing.
You have to evaluate and prioritize.
Well, and that sounds like it's right up your alley. Because I know you. How interesting to be involved in that, even if it is a short time. You will learn in the process.
And I mean, none of them may listen to this or be like, what is she talking about? But I, of course, my husband's a builder. Tanya's our agent. And so I very much am interested in the future land uses in our area. How those decisions are made. I wanted to understand that better. And I also wanted to understand how that we, as an economic developer, not all growth is good growth. So a big theme right now in economic development are data centers. They employ very few people. They use a lot of resources. They're not always the best thing for a community. Now, if a community wants it, and everyone wants it, great. I want you to have what you want in your community. But if there is, you know, overwhelming pushback on something, then no, we don't want that in our community. So I think understanding what your community is aligned with and what's best for your community and the people who live there. So, and I think that's with anything. I mean, take that into your home, like what's best for us. So back to saying no to things, you are your own little microcosm community of your family. What's best for our family? You don't have to answer to everybody else. You answer to your family for those things.
So true.
I want to go back to something that the Cindy kind of segued into, and it's being on the other side of that no. When you ask someone and they say no, and I tell a story every time I'm teaching a class now at the board, and every time I'm in that class, I tell a story, and I won't mention his name on here, but I this was back prior to Leadership Academy, and we were having to beg people to be on our leadership team, and I made a call to somebody who's an outstanding individual as a realtor, as a person, and he said to me, Angie, let me think about that, and so he said, can I call you back on Monday? And he called me back on Monday, and I just all weekend, I was like, please say yes, please say yes, please say yes. And he called me back on Monday, and he said no. Now, the key to that was he didn't say, I'm just too busy. I do have a pet peeve, and that's it, because I'm super busy too. But yet, I find time to do the things that are important, the things that fill me up, the things that challenge me. Yes, I say no to things, but I don't tell me, you're too busy. What I would love, Sandy, is if, or I'm sorry, Callie, if you came to me and said no, and you told me exactly what you just said there, I'd be like, man, I so respect that. Mm-hmm. I so respect mm-hmm. that she's picking and choosing mm-hmm. and she's allowing other people mm-hmm. to come in mm-hmm. and take a spot. I think as leaders, sometimes we get so stuck in our position mm-hmm. and we think we're the only ones who can do it, where
true.
Actually we're taking a spot for someone who doesn't have the ability to grow because we're in that spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So luckily this guy didn't say, I don't have enough time. He, you know, explained some things that were going on and I was let down. But on the other hand, I was like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. And you can't hold that against someone, but just, I would challenge everyone out there to be honest mm-hmm. and be truthful about why you're saying no mm-hmm. and you've given yourself permission to say no. And then I think it is so much, because to me, I just don't have time. It brings it back to, it's all right. about me. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So show respect for the person who's asking you, show respect for the entity that they've asked you to become a part of. And if, or to stay in mm-hmm. And if it's your time to move on, just let them know that yeah. and be honest about that.
I actually applied for a board one time that I wanted to be on. And there were some early indications that I would be appointed to the board. And then at the last minute, I was not appointed to the board. And I was really let down. Mm-hmm. But the leadership called and explained to me why they chose another individual mm-hmm. for that time. And it totally changed my viewpoint on it. Mm-hmm. And about a year later, they called me and asked me to be on it. And mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of times, like when you get rejected for a job, mm-hmm. it is how you respond mm-hmm. to the employer mm-hmm. or the hiring
Agree.
Person. Yeah. If you throw a big fit, they're like, wow, we did not, you know, but if you are so grateful and say, thank you. And I always say, then you can go cry in your car,
right.
you know,
like, yeah.
go cry
yeah.
at home.
right.
Yeah. You know, then it's how you respond mm-hmm. to a no. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought True. That up, the yeah. flip side of it.
Yeah.
I saw one time and I can't remember who to attribute this to, but their response to something was, thank you for your inquiry. My plate is as full as I would like it now.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Yeah. So they didn't offer an excuse.
Right.
And they didn't offer an apology. And I was like, well, that feels real, like, that feels real weird to me to not mm-hmm. explain mm-hmm. or apologize. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I get it. Your plate is as full as you would like it now, period. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can accept that, mm-hmm. you know, but I was like, I don't think I would be brave enough to write that in an email, but
yeah,
right, yeah,
it's the most dismissive.
I know, it is. I was right. like, wow, yeah. you know,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I think, you know, my plate is full as I would like it right now, and here is why.
Right,
like, I'm one Agree. That would finish with the, sure. here's what's on my plate.
Yeah,
These things are leaving my plate at these appointed times.
Yeah.
Can we check back in right. that 18, 24, 36 months, or yeah. whatever it is?
But yeah, then on the flip agree side with of that. Them. What if you just don't want to do it?
Yeah. Ooh.
Mm. I mean, think mm-hmm. about it, because we've all been in those places too, mm-hmm. where we're just like, I do have the capacity.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that it's not in alignment with me
yeah,
anymore. It's just
yeah,
not in alignment yeah, with me so, right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's going to be a rhetorical question. I'm just saying,
yeah.
It,
yeah.
That's been there.
Yeah. Too. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
and I think as professionals and as women, and the older we get, the wiser we get, I think no's are easier explained at this age, mm. If you truly don't want to do it, mm-hmm. it's easier to say no when you're coming from a really honest place. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you don't have to say, no, I hate your organization,
yeah, yeah.
right?
I'm not aligned
with your organization.
I'm all about being
all.
Authentic, Tanya, but.
right. Not saying that. Yeah. Yes. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I think it's easier these days to give an honest no. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes do you maybe have to embellish that with a little bit of extra explanation? Mm-hmm. Maybe. But I agree with you. Like the opportunity that comes your way that you're like, heavens no. Mm-hmm. I would never mm-hmm. do that at 30, and I'm not going to do it at 54. So, mm-hmm. you know, but I think a polished explanation yeah, right. is easier yeah. these days, yeah. you know.
And I would expect that from all of us for sure.
Yes.
And I just,
yeah.
I think with a younger generation, and not stereotyping, but, you know,
sure.
just we were talking earlier about like, what we think is funny, what our kids think is funny. Like, just but the totally brains different. Are different.
Right. Yes, just the brains are different.
Just kind of how they approach, yeah, all of those different things. It's interesting
I appreciate you saying that the person gave you the pause. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's times I'm glad I pressed pause. And there's other mm-hmm. times like, man, why didn't I just get that off my chest and go ahead and like make a decision? Mm-hmm. But I appreciate a thoughtful pause.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it tells me also that the person is really considering it and maybe not just dismissing me or making like, so I think you had, who did you have on your podcast? Nick's a football coach. Didn't he talk about practicing the pause?
He did.
I appreciated that.
Agree.
That you have to sometimes sideline something and finish the task at hand mm-hmm. and then come back and open that box back up mm-hmm. and really think about that. So I appreciate the pause that the person gave you.
Yeah, I did too. I knew he was considering it. I knew he would, I believe him to be trustworthy and I really felt like he was going to take it to heart, think about the obligation, mm-hmm. because in another podcast where Tanya said that she was told it would take an hour a month to do
a to director, get involved at the board.
To be involved at the board.
Was a complete lie.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff Kester. So I think really taking the time, if it's something that's in consideration, taking the time to really evaluate that. How much of my time is it going to take? Is something going to change in the next mm-hmm. 3 months, six mm-hmm. months, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, where I might be able to tackle that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the pause. I love the pause for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Anger, thoughtfulness, all of those reasons. And we just don't do it enough. We don't practice it enough.
We're human. Knee-jerk reaction.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
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 I think oftentimes we do that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Anybody have anything else they want to share on that topic?
No.
I mean, no, indeed I don't.
We give her permission to say no. No.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. All right. Well, it is a good time for a break.
It
so
is.
We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. Buying or selling a home isn't just a transaction. It's a major life moment. But without the right realtor, it can quickly become overwhelming, stressful, and full of unexpected surprises. A lack of expertise or poor communication can mean missed opportunities, lost money, and unnecessary headaches. Reach out to Tanya Murfin at Southwest Missouri Realty to start your home buying or selling journey. And we're back. So we are here with the Hens. If you've not joined the Hens before, you can actually go back and listen to three other episodes of the Hens.
Equally as entertaining.
Oh, my gosh.
Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes. But so we've been talking about simplifying your life and the art of saying no. Mm-hmm. So if you are just tuning in, go back and listen to that part because you'll learn something, I promise. But now we're going to segue into something that Sandy, and I'm going to say this in jest, Sandy has become a professional at over the last few years. And I say that, Sandy, only because I respect you and I know that you have a lot of great information to give all of us on your parents passing away, your parents aging, actually, mm-hmm. first, let's go there, mm-hmm. and taking care of aging parents, and then them ultimately passing away, and you having to take on the burden of estate planning, sales, funerals, all the things that went along with that. So I'm probably not giving you the introduction that because I didn't write all that out, obviously. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. But this is a topic and a true-to-life topic mm-hmm. that will land in our plates, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. all of us here, sitting here today, and everybody else we know at some point in their lives. And so, knowing you like we do, we wanted to honor that perspective and give you the chance to tell us what you've learned mm-hmm. and the good of it and the bad of it and the things, the best tips you could give us. Sure. For mm-hmm. aging parents and estate planning and, dumb it down for all of us because there will be key takeaways in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's very sweet. Thank you. And you're right. I did unexpectedly, I mean, had the privilege, honor, duty, task.
Absolutely. Whatever, all of those things.
Yes. You said fly by the seat of the pants like that. comes to mind.
Yeah.
With my parents, who were aging, and my dad's health was diminishing. My mom couldn't care for my dad like he needed to. So my parents just at one day, my sister lives in Arizona, and she's like, come and live with us. And so I thought that was a great idea because they needed some more help. I was working, and my parents ended up moving to Arizona, which left their home, 4,000 square foot home, full of fully furnished, refrigerator furnished, everything. I mean, my mom was at her wit's end.
Yeah.
So it really kind of was a situation where we had to say, okay, they're aging. This is it. Mom's just like, I've taken the things that are important to me. Get rid of everything.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. Meanwhile, you know, I had father-in-law who passed away, mother-in-law who eventually passed. So we were dealing with trusts and estates and downsizing and all of this with my
wow.
my parents. And so I think the big thing, and I think Angie and I, we talked about this over lunch one day, is if you can, it's a very delicate, sensitive conversation, but if you can have conversations with your parents, your loved ones now, mm-hmm. and at least try to have those conversations as to just, they need to lay kind of a roadmap, if they will.
Yeah.
This generation, my parents, our parents are all very, you know, they're private financially. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to share, here's how much money we have, here's where, you know,
right.
but they can at least, unless there's something very specific outlined, you know, unless there's a trust or there's some very specific
true.
Things,
yeah.
like have them, like, have conversation about, like, give you the roadmap of where, just the who and the where, and during the, you know, when yeah. this mm-hmm. all happens, mm-hmm. so you know you're not sitting here trying to find breadcrumbs going, I don't even know where my parents have money. I don't even know what's
exactly.
going on.
Right.
Do
yeah.
they have life insurance policies that they took out when they were 25 and yeah. now they're 80? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
so, and I'll preface by saying, certainly I'm not an attorney, and I, yeah. I think
yes.
I mentioned that to you, and I'm not, this isn't legal advice, but you know, when you do have a parent that you're working with that does have an established trust or even a will, with your parents, like, find out where are those documents, because
yes.
you will need original documents. Some parents right. are very okay, we're in tandem, here's everything I have, but some are probably going to say, when that time comes, mm-hmm. everything you need to know is in this burgundy binder in the bottom of mm-hmm. this drawer here, and mm-hmm. you're like, okay, that's really all you need to know. But I would say first employ an attorney. I mean,
yeah.
You
yeah.
definitely
yeah.
want to work with an attorney.
True.
Yeah. yeah.
But even if your parents have said, I'm not an only child, but I've been an only child, and they said, everything's going to go to you, Sandy. No worries. I still say keep everything separate. Mm-hmm. Don't commingle anything. Open separate accounts. If you know your parents have a home that's owned in a trust, you're going to need a trust banking account. You're not
yep.
going to just be able to go sell
right.
that house. I mean, are you the trustee? Who has been named mm-hmm. as trustee? But it's just a lot. And mm-hmm. I think you have to know, I mean, you're going to need death certificates. So when the time comes, make sure you get 5 or 6 or 7, at least, you know, if they've got accounts, because you're going to need to supply, you know.
And on all those accounts, you're going to need originals. You were asked for originals most of the time.
Most generally. It just kind of depends what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
One interesting
yeah.
thing that I thought, too, was we had a trust account. This was on, you know, a trust account set up and named trustee. So we were in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't on the bank account as trustee. But so we went to the bank after the passing, and we're like, here's a death certificate. They're like, oh, we have to close this account. You have to open a brand new account because you have to get new tax ID numbers.
Right.
And so just know that it's not just as easy
as
going,
easy.
I'm the
yeah.
trustee. I have
right.
access to all this.
Yeah.
I would say those conversations with your loved ones early on, if you can try to just glean as much information as you can.
Yeah.
To really have an understanding as to what they have. Are you the person? Are you going to be able to act independently? Are you going to be acting with brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Things really get, luckily mm-hmm. we've been so, my brothers and sisters and I and my in-laws, it all just worked out really great. But transparency, we mentioned that word earlier, and I think
mm-hmm.
transparency is really key.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with everything that somebody has left behind, I mean, be very transparent.
Yeah.
When my parents moved and ended up going to Arizona, I mean, they had this, again, this house full of just furniture. My sister and brother and I collectively came together and I said, Mom wants us to sell the house So our goal is to get rid of everything in the house. So we as a family, we all came over, and it just, I think it was amazing. Everybody went through the house, and it was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I said, don't make this weird. Mom and Dad want to bless all of us.
Right.
With, mm-hmm. So like, who needs what?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we had just like a little internal like.
Yeah.
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 What do you want? So we took an afternoon. We said, identify what you think you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we all sat in the living room. Nobody wanted. Nobody was fighting over anything. No.
That's
good. And it was just like, so to this day, you know, I know who's got my mom's brand new sectional. I know mm-hmm. who right. has the riding lawnmower. I know, mm-hmm. you know. And,
right.
And they appreciated those things. Mm-hmm. And my mom yeah. was so happy.
Oh, I bet.
Alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That was my, I was totally going to say that. Like, wouldn't you rather, yes. like,
bless somebody
where you can see it. Yes. Yeah.
Be able to see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, agree.
And before you go on, Sandy, I want to make one point that the conversation you have with them when they're in their 60s, they may be even more reserved. You that conversation early, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. But just know when you're doing that, when they're in their 50s and 60s, that conversation may feel much more reserved and much more protected than when they are in their 80s.
It will be.
And then I feel like as they age, they get more, they start to understand, they have to know these things. They have to understand, you know, what our wishes are. And that's the most important thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And that is true. And again, that generation is very private. Mm-hmm. I know my parents had two or three different checking accounts, and my dad had this one that he kept, and he called it his old man money. And it was just, I don't even know what was going into it, but it just was a separate account that he had. And they always joked about it, his old man money. We were like, ask my mom about like, hey, what happens in the event that, you know?
Yeah.
And so we finally convinced my dad to at least add somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we said, Dad, somebody's got to be able to get your old man money, you know?
Right.
And he perceived that as like, somebody's going to take it. When right. Yeah. Like, no. Just, and we tried to explain how it would work if it wasn't protected. And that's what I'm saying. If they use an attorney, have an attorney. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, to your point, if they're like, Angie, it's all going to go to you, don't worry mm-hmm. about it, they don't understand that unless, you know, they may have a vehicle that's got value, and if it doesn't have a TOD, or they may just think, when I die, you just get it.
Yeah.
No, that's
not
how
it works.
And so when you do start having those conversations, and luckily we have a lot of those things kind of already in order, and most do, but having settled with Kevin's dad and his mother, they both, you know, they were divorced, so there's two separate things going on. There were just a couple of little things that popped up. They both had very much their affairs in order, and they had trusts. There were a couple of things on either side that popped up, and it forced things to be in an estate that had to be probated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, if you get into those, you know, you're handling it, and somebody hasn't, because they're not going to show you all their cards, in their 70s.
Yeah,
again,
you're right.
Privacy. And it's a pride thing for them.
Yeah.
But older people generally have, you know, like paper statements and this and that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you have that task of going through like their organization system, and like mm-hmm. you really have to just start organizing out.
Yeah.
I not recommend you just throw it all in a box and take it to an attorney and go figure it out, because they're going to charge you, you know, $400 an hour to do
exactly.
that. Mm-hmm. And so, being very organized, it was something that was just easy for me to do with that. But
I always think about, what are they going to do with all of my online accounts and passwords?
That's my
and
point.
Yeah.
I joke with my husband, like, if something happens to me, if I leave this parking lot today and I exist no more, someone please go help him, because everything's going to be disconnected.
Yes.
Yeah. I manage that in the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just how it's fallen to me. And I think about that with our generation,
everything's
digital.
Yeah. This and that.
You're right.
You mentioned a conversation at 60 versus 80. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 57. I've told Peyton same thing. I'm like, Peyton, she doesn't. I just said, here's the where, and here's the who, and
right.
here's mm-hmm. what you need to know.
Yes.
And the same thing. And help your dad, because I
bless
do all of that.
LG won't ever get on Netflix again. Someone come help him.
He's going to have to move someone in just to do those things.
He's capable of doing it. It's easier for me to do it right now.
Right. Yeah.
Probably very much like taking the trash up. He's really good at that. Thank you, honey. You know?
And I would say, document everything. Even if you think, this is going to be a slam dunk. My parents have a trust, this and that. It's going to be so easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be start to finish in just mm-hmm. no time.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to write checks for the trust. I would say defer to your attorney and find out. Maybe you don't
you're not going to pay every bill that comes in. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. if it's a bill directed to an individual, maybe your attorney's going to say hold payment on that.
So yeah.
Defer to the attorney. But if it's like insurance on the house that's held by the trust, you need to pay that.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And document it. Mm-hmm. Because I know there were a couple times when the attorney would ask a question. He was like, what's this check for? And I mean, I kept the check register electronic. And I will say he was very impressed with my
organization.
I'm sure he was. He was just like, are you working? And I'm like, nope. But anyway, I was able to just go back and have everything documented. Yeah. This is what this check was for.
Yeah.
We had to do a repair on this, or we had to, you know, this is for the insurance, for the homeowners, or whatever.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so just don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Set up a separate, even if you have to just get a little separate file box and be like, okay, this is until this is done, start to finish, because... Mm-hmm. As you know, some of mine have mm-hmm. taken a very long time, mm-hmm. not for reasons. I mean, just sometimes there's just hiccups that come along the
You're
way,
right.
and that's just
yeah.
what happened.
But. Yeah. And the other interesting thing that we've had several conversations about this, that disbursement doesn't happen if you've got somebody that is going to be an heir, that they are going to get something, they need to understand that disbursement is not immediate.
Right. No, it's not 10 minutes after.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
We're not
right.
going to meet in the parking lot at the funeral home and go, all right.
Here's your check.
No,
here's your check.
You're yeah. right. It yeah. does take a minute. And that kind of goes back to that transparency. And when you mm-hmm. work with an attorney, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to help guide and direct you. But some of it, I think, you know, they're here, but when they start asking you for this information, it'll just make the process so much
yeah.
easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, if somebody's set up with a trust, it should be an easy, mm-hmm. you know, if there's a trustee named and.
Yeah.
But.
So you can always
yeah.
name a trust company. So yes. I don't
right.
have any mm-hmm. biological children mm-hmm. and, you know, we talked a lot about what does it look like? My parents, like businesses, family businesses. So we decided a neutral third party, like
yeah.
a trust company,
yeah.
is
You're
so right. much easier, because then we're not putting the burden on any one person.
Right.
So the attorney and the trust company can then work together, and they're mm-hmm. doing all of the things that you're doing. Now, are they taking a percentage of the estate? Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's how they get paid to do those things.
Yeah.
But we just felt like it would save relationships
yes.
if we could outsource that mm-hmm. to a trust company.
Very true.
Yeah.
So,
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I think that so many
service.
Families should
yes.
consider that if they've got potential heirs that don't get along, or they're spread
right.
out, or it could really take the burden off
yeah.
of
and continuity the wise.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
that's I think is always an option for people also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great point
one
to
funny
make.
Thing, my parents after 51 years disconnected their landline this week and I was distraught over it, and I joked with them and said, if they keep making these poor choices, I'm going to enact the power of attorney on them. And they were like, what? You know, they were joking, but
yeah,
they've been
yeah.
married 51 years this coming Sunday, and they finally
now.
Disconnected
finally.
Their landline.
Yeah.
They got it
wow.
in 1974.
Oh my.
I
wow.
I was a little bit sad when we disconnected.
I was
that
so
was a long
sad.
Time ago, but still.
Right.
Yeah. It
you
just
did.
Felt like a piece of my childhood.
Yeah.
Bring up that. And I think you guys have had estate planning attorneys
yeah,
on
have.
Here. And again,
mm-hmm.
go back and listen to that, because
yeah.
lots
yeah.
of great information
yes.
there. But that power
yeah.
of attorney is just another simple little thing.
Right.
You're right.
And not everybody does have something.
I mean, even just
up.
Disconnecting
right.
a phone. I mean, think mm-hmm. of trying to, well, I don't know. I haven't tried to disconnect a cell phone number. I've had the same one since 1997.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
mm-hmm.
I mean, my parents have had their cell phones forever. Like, what's it going to take to just stop the billing on someone,
yeah. right.
you know?
Right.
It really,
you're right.
It really is. And even if you're just trying to help them, situation where my mom was hospitalized, my dad's health condition had, you know, deteriorated where he wasn't able to, he maybe could write checks at that
right.
time. But so I was having to go in and, you know, pay some bills and do
right.
this and that. And so again, another reason why you just kind of want to have those conversations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yeah.
Have things
sure
in place.
So
yeah.
you're not scrambling, but.
That's
true.
A good point. Your past
yeah.
one
yeah.
on the estate planning. Those were really good.
Mm-hmm.
You've had great mm-hmm. people on here.
Yeah.
So
yes.
sure you could
about
put those
time
in show
for
notes.
Us to do that again, because it's been
agreed.
A minute and things change
oh,
so much
yeah.
in that realm.
Yeah.
So
they really do.
Good stuff, Sandy. Thank you.
That's
good. Yes.
Well,
thank
reminders.
You for that.
I could probably just rapid fire a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it's definitely a process,
yes.
but I think really those early conversations, if you can,
right.
if you can find that opportunity with your parents just to mm-hmm. be like, I just want to make sure. And I think what clicked with my dad was, Dad, if this isn't taken care of while you're still here,
mm-hmm.
you know, it goes to a court and there's, you know, part of your money is going to go to, you know, to pay for court fees and things like that.
Exactly.
And, and that resonated with him. He's like, wait a minute, hold on.
Right.
You know, and
if you understand that, I don't know that one person alive would want the court system to get their money,
right?
And not leave it to someone or something.
To pay the staff that processes the stuff in probate. I mean, it's not just like going to like some slush fund or something, but it's still, you're paying someone to help.
You're paying them to help.
Their money that they worked hard for.
That's right.
And I think this brings us back to no is not no for, you know, if you approach them and they say, no, not going to have that conversation right now, you just have to keep trying.
You do.
Because at some point, you have to get a point across to them that it's necessary.
And please don't do it at the holidays. I feel like that happens a lot. Because I feel like everyone's together at the on the holidays and everyone's getting nostalgic and they start thinking this is, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays. That is not the time to have these conversations.
We've had neighbors come over and in the thick of all this, I said, I am dealing with all this, you know, with, you know, my mom, Kevin's mom, all this. I said, you know, look at Tanya, do you have things like, are you guys set? Do you have things the way?
Yes, agree.
And they're like, well, no, we've been talking about it. We need to do this. And these are friends of ours in their 50s.
Yep.
And I'm like, it is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because one thing can just change all of that.
Yeah. And we come across that a lot in real estate with selling houses. And that's a good opportunity to ask the client, is this in a trust? Because we need to know, right, from the get-go. And if you're close enough with them where you can say, you know, the next house, you really need to at least think about that. That's so we can say that even to people we barely know,
right?
Because it's part of our job to be able to advise and say, you know, when you're gone, who does this go to? Mm-hmm. You can do a beneficiary deed, and that wraps up the house. Mm-hmm. And you know, so it's a conversation that can be had.
Like, when your parents start having their friends go through this. I think that is a trigger for them. And then even us, just at this age, having people have to deal with these kinds of things, it makes you start going, oh gosh, that could be me.
It's a trigger. Like
you start projecting yourself into that position.
Yes.
So I think those kind of organically, those conversations happen because you're confiding in your friends. Even my mom goes to lunch with some girls that your mom's age too. And I think they compare notes on things too.
Yeah.
Although my mom did take a poll and ask them who disconnected their home phones, and they all did.
So that's what made her do it.
Like, oh, I was the like, girlfriend. You can't hang out with them anymore.
That's done. We're done with that. Well, ladies, we could have this conversation all day long. We've got
a lot of
great information that we've talked about, a lot of good things. So I want to thank both of you
for
coming. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Yeah, we always enjoy a good conversation with the hens.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank you for listening. We appreciate your time and the. We hope you gain some insights, some tips, some things that will help you along life's journey.
Yeah, and share with a friend if you did find all of this very informational. And we want to thank Great American Title, our premier sponsor, and of course, Gershman Mortgage for recording with us. So we appreciate you guys. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you next time.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.